We're now less than 2 weeks, week and a half from Rosh Hashanah, and I want to connect a little bit this time of the year to the parsha of Kisavo. I think for most of us, when we think about this time of year, it's very personal. It's us in shul, standing before God, and we're thinking about ourselves and what the future will bring. We're reflecting on our behavior, our actions from the past year, what things we did well, and what things we need to adjust and to correct. And we're in shul with many other people, but it's mostly, again, a very private, personal experience. And in many ways, it reflects the experience of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who just he alone would stand with God in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies. No one else was there. No one else saw him. It was that very intimate, private, emotional experience for the Kohen Gadol. And so, like for many of us, again, I think it's how we generally relate to this time of the year. Unlike other holidays, when there's a lot of like family together time, Sukkot and Pesach, and around the Seder table, Hanukkah. Those are times we more associate with family, with getting together, inviting people into our sukkah, things of that nature. Again, I could be wrong on this, but I generally just think about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as more like a very like private time. Like especially again when we're in shul, the focus is on me and God and my conversations, and again reflecting on my behavior, my actions for the past year. What can I change moving forward? What are my needs? What are my hopes, my dreams, my aspirations? But I just like to suggest that maybe we should add an additional element, and also to recognize the benefit of being with others, and not only the benefit in terms of like moral support, but also what we can do for others in their process during this year. In their process of hopefully reconnecting with Hashem, strengthening their relationship with Hashem, how we can be as supportive of one another. So, what I want to do is again connect it to the parsha. So, this week's parsha opens up with the Bikurim, the first fruits. The farmer brings the first fruits to the Beis Hamikdash. It discusses the Vidui Maaser, the confession that the farmer makes when he has to state that he's given all the proper tithes, the trumos and the maizros, and then the bulk of the parsha is the blessing and the curses, right? That will befall the Jewish people if you fulfill the mitzvah, all the blessings, and if you don't fulfill the Torah, God forbid, all the curses, the tochacha, the rebuke. So, within that context, the Torah describes the ceremony that will take that the Jewish people should perform. Soon after they arrive in the land of Israel, they should go to Har Gerizim, Har Eval, these two mountains, and some tribes will be on one mountain, some tribes on the other mountain, and they're going to proclaim, blessings and curses. If you keep the Torah, the blessings; if you don't keep the Torah, the curses. So, and then the Torah delineates, the various best blessings as well as the various curses. And and when you look at the curses, Arur is this, cursed is that, Arur. It's all very specific. It's focused on people who engage in forbidden relationships. It's people who strike or hurt another person. People who take lokach shochad. People who take bribes. People who aren't careful to respect other people's property. And again, it's all these various curses on specific actions, behaviors. That the Torah clearly is, God is clearly, very much, against and warns us and cautions us not to engage in. And then after all those curses, it then concludes with the following statement: Arur asher lo yakim es divrei Torah zos. Cursed is the one who does not yakim, who does not uphold this Torah, basos osam to perform them. V'amar kol am amen, the people respond amen. So the question that the Mefarshim deal with is that on the surface, this final curse seems to include everything we just said beforehand. It's like a general statement, cursed is the one who didn't keep the Torah. Right? Arur asher lo yakim es divrei Torah hazos, lasos osam. And the question is, if you're going to make a general statement like that, why do you need all the other specifics? Right? What are you wasting your time? Cursed are the one who didn't take a bribe. Cursed is the one who wasn't careful with someone else's property. Cursed is the one who married someone they weren't supposed to. Just say, cursed is the one who doesn't keep the Torah. And we know what it is. We know, look back in the Torah, see all the mitzvos, and you got to uphold the mitzvos and don't violate any of the negative commandments. So once you're saying, that general statement, why are all the specifics needed? So based upon that question, the Mefarshim all suggest that what this expression is that it's not necessarily a general curse on someone who doesn't keep the Torah per se, specific commandments, but it's something else. Rashi, this is a point. Rashi says the following: he says, Rashi says, yeah, it's actually including the entire Torah. However, what is added here? What element is different? Why is this necessary? The kiblua that basically the Jews were accepting the Torah with this general statement, now with a vow. They were it was like a cursed as one, and they were saying amen. They were formally accepting this observance of the entirety of the Torah, and that's why this is sort of thrown in there. So again, that's Rashi, but the other Mefarshim say something very different. So the Ramban basically lists the different possibilities. It says the following. He says that, Ulafidati, according to my understanding, ki a Kabbalah hazos, this last acceptance, shiyoda b'mitzvot b'libo v'yo enas. It's that what's required of a person is for a person to basically acknowledge the validity of the Torah and to regard the Torah as truth. In other words, it's not just to go through the motions and to do the mitzvot, but it's to believe in it. It's to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to accept that God has given this to us. He says, Yamin sha'uso som yeh loschar hatova bover aleihem yanesh. Like a person has to believe that this is the truth, and that this is what God expects from us, and that there's great reward if we keep the mitzvot, and unfortunately there's punishments if we don't keep the mitzvot. And he says, "V'miyichbor ba'achas mehem otia be'ena b'teila le'olam hinehu aror." And if a person at any point thinks that, you know what? Not all the mitzvos apply to me. Not all the mitzvos are relevant. That maybe in the day in which I live, that this is no longer something that we need to abide by. We no longer need to follow. So such a person is arur. Such a person is cursed. And the I think it was, the Malbim picks up on this, and he says that he says the following. Right, he says, he quotes the Ramban, "Hakabbalah zosh yodah b'mitzvos b'libo v'yobeinav emes." Yeah, you have to accept all the mitzvos as truth. And what you're not allowed to do, he says, is that you can't. He said there might come a time and a place. He quotes the philosophers, philosophian, "Omrim shein emes haTorah kayamas olam." They say, you know what? Yeah, maybe the Torah is true. Maybe there is a God who gave the Torah to the Jewish people. They don't deny that. However, what do they say? They say that Ava rak pnimus ruchonius haTorah shem atzulim yashem. They say, what's eternal? It's the general ideas, the ideas that there's a God, the ideas that he should be a good person, the ideas that. That we should have a relationship with God, those things are eternal. However, avomaisa hamitzvah, she is told of a maisa adam. When it comes to the actual performance of specific mitzvos, so that's shown to mizman, so that can change from time to time, medina medina, from country to country, from location to location. Luzel omer aroish. To such a person, that's what this is saying, cursed is such an individual. In other words, we believe, and what the Torah is stressing here, according to this approach of the Ramban and the Malbim explains, that is that we believe that the Torah is eternal, and that the Torah, the Torah that was given, you know, several thousand years ago, and all the specifics and the details, it applies at all time. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter, you know, what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what the current trends are in the world. What people are thinking. The Torah is MS. It's truth, and it applies for all times. And if you have a problem with a certain mitzvah, you disagree with it, you have to perform it nonetheless. All right, you can't say, "Oh, this doesn't apply anymore," or "This has changed," or "This we know, this we've you know, we've gotten in a better place. We realize that this is really not the ideal. This shouldn't be observed." But rather, no, you. It's a ruach shelakim es divrei Torah zos. Cursed one that doesn't uphold this Torah, lasososan, to perform it. The entire Torah, all the details of the Torah, they're forever. They're valid, and they're relevant, and they're what we are expected to observe and to uphold. So obviously, you know, there's a lot here, and there's a lot of unfortunately, throughout the generations, there's always been people who say, "Oh, you know, this is not relevant anymore," or "This, you know, society, humankind has gone past this. This is an ancient idea. This is foreign. This is, we've rejected this." And so says the Ramban that no, that's the wrong attitude. That we may not totally understand everything, and maybe we might think that something is outdated, or that you know, society as a whole may disagree with something that our Torah says. But we as Jews, we need to maintain our fidelity to the Torah, our adherence to the Torah, and it's a Torah of emes, of truth, and it's the world that sometimes corrupts itself in its values, but the Torah's values are pure, the will of God, and they need to be upheld, and that's what it's saying here, right? What it's saying here is that it's not just like saying, you know, keep all the mitzvos. It's saying more than that. It's saying, don't ever think that a particular mitzvah or mitzvot are no longer relevant, or that, you know, things have changed and therefore we don't have to do this anymore. That's the first suggestion that the Ramban gives. Again, what is unique about this final aurora, this final curse? He then points out the following, you know, just to prove his point that this is not like a general, like, you know, punishment if you don't keep a particular mitzvah. He says, because there's two reasons why a person might not keep a mitzvah. One reason why you might not keep a mitzvah is because you disagree with it. You think it's wrong. So that's what he's saying, that this is negating that. It's saying that no, you're not allowed to do that. You know, you can't say I'm not doing this mitzvah because I don't agree with it. And if you do that, arur, you're cursed. However, there's another reason why people sometimes don't keep mitzvah. So what's that? Sometimes, people commit sins because they have desires. They're hungry. They're passing by a McDonald's. Oh, it smells so good. It looks so good. It's not like they disagree with the law of kosher and they're angry at God. They're just, you know, just life happens. And, you know, they just are, they're hungry, and they're not in the mood, and they're tired, and the Yetzirah says, oh, just this one time. Just try it. It looks good. They're not doing it to rebel against God. They're not doing it because, you know, they think it's an outdated law. Just, you know, the desire gets to them, you know, the lust, you know, of the moment. Or sometimes, another reason why people don't sometimes keep mitzvos is, you know, not because they lust to do the sin, but probably the biggest reason why people don't do mitzvos, and that is, he calls it atzlus. They get lazy, right? Or shalom asa lo lulav asukah ba'atzala. You didn't shake the lulav and eslo because you woke up late and you're tired. You know, the big game is on. You'd rather watch the game. Again, it's not like you're rebelling against God. You're angry with God. Or you think that it's not relevant. You just, you know, it's not a priority. Unfortunately, it's just not a priority in your life. So a person who sins because of those two reasons, again, because of some lust or some desire, or they're lazy, is ain't up the cherem azad. They're not part of this curse. And this curse is very specific. This is a curse against someone who denies the Torah. Someone who says, I'm not doing this mitzvah because I disagree with it. I think it's wrong. I think it's outdated. And what's his proof that's a correct reading of this pasuk? Ki lo amar kasav asher lo yaseh es divrei ha-Torah azos. Right? You read the Hebrew carefully, it says, cursed is who It doesn't say cursed is the person who asher lo yaseh, who didn't perform a mitzvah. We're not cursing people who don't do mitzvahs. It's saying rather asher lo yakim, who doesn't uphold esdivrei Torah, doesn't uphold the Torah. I mean, who it's cursing the person who doesn't think the Torah is relevant to them. That the Torah, you know, is you know, the person thinks it's outdated or a specific mitzvah. That's the person who's being cursed. But the person who's just lazy, the person who gets, you know, the desire gets them. So that's, again, that's not a good thing. That's into the mitzvah. But he says that's not part of this curse. Okay. So that's his first understanding. Again, I still want to get back to in a second the what I start off with about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, are we focused on ourselves or we should also be focused on others? So that's going to be the Ramban's second explanation. Let me just get to his one this last thing that he says. He quotes the Yerushalmi, who has an agadic teaching, homiletic interpretation. So again, what does it say? Curses a person, asher lo yakim, doesn't uphold this Torah. Who upholds the Torah? He says, Zeh ha-chazen, the chazen. She'eno mekim sefer Torah, lamidam b'kitiknon shlo yipolo. This either refers to the shamus of the shul, who doesn't make sure to keep the Torah upright. You know, he's not careful when he puts the Torah back in the Aron Kodesh, doesn't fall over. Because you got to give respect to the Sefer Torah. And this is a homiletic interpretation. That it's basically saying that you need to be careful that the Torah doesn't fall down. Like, literally, it doesn't fall down. In other words, I always tell the Gabbai, you know, when it comes to choosing someone to take out the Sefer Torah, don't give it to like a little kid. Because the kids, the Torah is almost three times the size of the kid, and like you're always nervous it's going to drop it. You know, you got to get someone who's got a little muscle in them. You know, or Hagba, this is like the worst one. You know, Hagba, who do you give Hagba to? It's got to be, you know, give it to the strongest guy in Shul. You know, and don't give Hagba to the 30, 40 different people, and you know, half the people can't pick it up, and they almost cause it, you know, three guys have to jump in so it doesn't fall over. You know, you can give those people other honors, but don't give them Hagba. So that's again, homiletically, that's another interpretation. Well, yeah, Kim, you got to keep the Torah upright. Don't let it fall over. He says one other possibility is when a person does Hagba, this is actually a halacha. The person picks up the Sefer Torah, and they're actually supposed to open up several columns of the Torah. Why? Because in theory, the people can't, depends how far away you are, but in theory, the rest of the congregation is supposed to be able to look into the Torah and see the words of the Torah. And so it's cursing, he says, again, it's a homiletic interpretation, cursing is the one who doesn't show the Torah to the people. You know, doesn't open it wide enough so people can see. Now, you don't want a person to open up 20 columns, that's a show off, you know, people do that. Like three columns are supposed to be opened up so people can, you know, look in and see the words of the Torah. So cursed is the one who doesn't do that. Doesn't give people the opportunity to see, you know, the words, and it's so powerful, meaningful to see the words of the Torah. Okay, so those are like some side explanations. But I want to conclude with the middle explanation that he gives, and then the Nativ picks up on this. And again, this comes from quoting from the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says the following. Yerushalmi besotar iti. Says I saw in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Pesach Sota. What does it mean asher lo yakim? A person who does not, again, doesn't say asher lo yaseh, who doesn't do the mitzvos, but asher lo yakim, who doesn't uphold the Torah. What do we mean not to uphold the Torah? V'chiyesh Torah no fellas. Are we afraid the Torah is going to fall down? Again, that homiletic interpretation says, yeah, we are afraid it's going to fall down. So make sure you get a strong guy to pick it up. But this interpretation is saying differently. Shimon ben Yakim Omer Zeh Chazer. Shimon ben Chalafta Omer Zeh Beisdin Shalmatan. This is referring to the court down below. It's referring to the Jewish people as a whole. Meaning what? Demar Rav Yehuda Rav Huna B'Shem Shmuel Al Dovar Zeh Kor Yoshiyov Omer Alai Lakim. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav Huna, who said the name of Shmuel, it's a reference to the famous king Yoshio HaMelech, right? He was the king, he's one of the last kings of the Jewish people shortly before the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He was the last truly righteous king of the Jewish people. His grandfather, Menashe, was the one who had introduced, unfortunately, all this idolatry into the land of Israel. His father was no good as well. And then Yoshio was born. He's a little kid, and he becomes king. His father died relatively young, and his father, Amon. And then, it's amazing to think about this, but he's a Jewish king, and he's a descendant of David HaMelech, and he's raised in this environment of idolatry. Like, you know, they knew about Hashem, but they're also, they embraced all these other forms of idolatry. And the beautiful story that the Navi tells about Yoshio is that he tried his best to do teshuva, not only for himself, but for the Jewish people. He was inspired. We have this tradition that they were cleaning up the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a Sefer Torah, and it was brought to him, and he opened it up. And some say he opened up to this pasuk: "Cursed is the one who does not uphold this Torah." And he realized, he being the king, he needed to set an example to the Jewish people, that it was his responsibility not just to run the government and, you know, to issue taxes and to fix the roads and, you know, have an army, but he, as a Jewish king, we spoke about this a couple weeks ago in Parsha Shoftim, it was his job to model for the rest of the Jewish people what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be someone who believes in God and who follows the Torah. And if you don't do that, so that's the pasuk, Arur Hashem Eliakim, someone does not cause the Torah to be upheld. But cursed is the person who enables and maybe looks the other ways, and different other people are not following the Torah, not observing the mitzvahs. And he says, Gemara then says, and so what he did, the story of Yoshio, what he did, is that he began a whole teshuva movement within the Jewish people. He made it his business to begin to get rid of and destroy all the idolatry throughout the land. And he worked really, unfortunately, he wasn't 100% successful because a lot of the people were too far gone. But he really tried really hard. And the Navi describes the Pesach that was celebrated during his reign, like there was like never a more joyous and a more attended Pesach observance in Yerushalayim under his leadership. Like, he really tried his best to turn things around based upon this idea that that's our job. Our job is not only to care about ourselves, but it's to care about others. And the Ramban continues and quotes, again, continuing to quote the Yerushalmi, that says, Rav Asa b'shem Rav Tanchum bar Chia lamad v'limed v'shamar v'asa v'isa sfeika b'yada l'achzik v'lo hechzik harizeh b'chlal aror. Someone who's a learned Jew, if you're an educated Jew, you got a day school education, or you went to some Torah classes, you studied on your own, you listened, to the Torah podcasts, and you learned Torah, so that's great, that's wonderful, you're becoming a knowledgeable Jew. But what you need to do, it's not only lilmo, to learn, but it's also lalamed. It's also to teach, right? That your job is to strengthen the Torah. The person who is lama, the person who learns, by his fake and you had the ability to hachzik, like, to strengthen others, but you didn't do that. You turned the other way. You didn't care about other people's observance. You weren't interested in inviting them for a Shabbos meal and teaching them anything. So that you're part of this aror, you're part of this curse, right? Because our job as Jews not only to care about ourselves, but to care about our fellow Jews. And a person who only thinks about themselves and their own personal relationship with God, but doesn't care about others, doesn't try to teach them Torah and help them perform mitzvot, and show them the beauty of Judaism, aror shel yakim es tevi'at Torah zos. Cursed is that person who doesn't try to uphold the Torah for the entirety, for the totality of the Jewish people. And he then, to conclude, he says, Yiddishu ba'kamas azos, beis ha-melech v'anasiyas. And specifically, this is a warning to leadership, to Jewish leadership, the king and the nasi, the prince of the Jewish people, during different periods of Jewish history, sh'yadol ha'kim es ha-torah b'yad ha-rishoyim ha-valim osah. They have the power to teach, they have the power to model, to try to influence, to try to make positive changes. And they don't do that. And Rambaz is something powerful. A fil ha-yahud tzadik gomer b'masav. You can have the biggest tzaddik in the world, the guy who learns Torah all day long, the guy who has the longest tzitzis, the nicest tefillin, you know, the person who has the most beautiful Shabbos table, all great. But all he does is for himself. He just makes a beautiful Shabbos for himself and his family. He just learns Torah for himself. He just, you know, tzitzis himself, tefillin himself, all those things. But he could have also taught others. He could have gotten a chavrusas. He could have, said a shir. He could have gone over to a Jew and said, "Hey, did you put on tefillin today?" And and give him a pair of tefillin to do a mitzvah. He didn't do that. Haray ze'ara. Such a Jew who looks so holy, learns Torah all day, but he doesn't care about his fellow Jew. Doesn't try to help them out, teach them, and guide them, and strengthen their Judaism. That person is cursed. Ara is cursed. Which is a powerful thing. That's very strong. At some level, that's harsh. Someone who cares so much about their Judaism, but they only care about themselves. Or they're only thinking about themselves. They're not trying to be a positive influence on others. So that's the aror. So that brings us back to where I started about Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a lot about we're thinking about ourselves, understandably. You know, the past and what the future will bring, and about we're trying to correct our behavior, our actions. And it's again, it's a very private, personal, this conversation with God, and that's all good and fine. But in addition to that, it seems like from this way the Ramban, the Rishalmi, understands this pasuk, is that we also have a responsibility, each according to our means, to be a positive influence on others. And whether that's our children, our grandchildren, whether that's friends, members of community, whoever it is, or just a Jew, we don't know, we just meet on the street, that anything that we can do to try to show them the beauty of Judaism and the meaning of the mitzvahs and the opportunity that they have to connect to God through the performance of Torah, through the learning of Torah, the study of Torah, the observance of mitzvahs. So that, in fact, is our responsibility. And that's incumbent upon anyone, everyone, everyone according to their means and their ability to try to do that. And, that's not always so easy, because, again, it's easy just to work on yourself, think about yourself and your own, immediate, surroundings. But, says the Yerushalmi, understanding this as pasuk, and maybe this is the source of doing kiruv, and this is Avram, trying to go out and spread the word. So that we all have to try to, again, each according to our means. That's part of what it is of being a Jew. It's not just thinking about myself, but it's thinking about my fellow Jew and how I can be a positive influence on each and every Jew who I encounter. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos.